You're listening to WAMC's Midday Magazine. Now, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in conversation with WAMC's Alan Shartok. Gentlemen, the airwaves are yours.
Thank you, Brian, and hello, Governor.
Top of the morning to you. How are you, Alan?
You've been working hard all day, haven't you? You've been meeting with the press, and you've been pushing hard on your views on the way in which we're handling the gun crisis. In fact, doesn't your brother have a program on that tonight on CNN, I believe? Do you know that?
Yes, he does. He's been on the he's been in El Paso, so he's been all over this issue. And I think, Alan, everyone should be working hard who's in elected office or a government leader, because two reasons. Number one, Americans are frightened, and they should be, and they're disturbed, and they're horrified. And second, there is a possibility of a moment for change. And that's what I am trying to maximize. You know, you hear all these pundits all day long talk about, well, is this the tipping point? Is this the tipping point? There is no tipping point. There is no spontaneous combustion for government action. What does occur, you can have circumstances created where the American people are ready for change, where the elements are in the air, but then you need a spark, and the spark is called leadership. Sandy Hook, Connecticut, 6 years ago, children massacred. It was a similar moment. People were ready for change, but it didn't happen automatically. It happened because we had a spark. I did a bill. I called the legislature in, and I said, you're either going to pass this bill or you're going to vote against the bill, but you're going to be accountable to the people of this state. And they passed the bill. And we had a Republican Senate, by the way. So anyone who says, well, Republicans will never do this, Republicans can do it. And our Republican Senate, Alan, as you well know, our Republican Senate, upstate New York, you have Republican conservatives as Republican and as conservative as anywhere in this country. But there's common sense at one point. And if at the right moment leadership is shown, you can make a change. And we did in New York 6 years ago. The SAFE Act, which is the same thing we're trying to do today, 6 years later, ban on assault weapons, universal background checks, mental health database, red flag laws. Our mental health database, we now have 100,000 people, seriously mentally ill people, who were allowed to buy a gun in New York before the SAFE Act, who now can't buy a gun.
How does that work? In other words, how are mentally ill people, you know, identified? I worry about it because, you know, a lot of people see therapists, a lot of people do that, this and that. I want to make sure that we're not, you know, basically vilifying them, those people who have minor league mental problems.
You're protecting people. If you see a mental health professional and they think that you are a danger to yourself or to others, which is very close to the standard, by the way, for institutionalization involuntarily. But if they think you have a gun at home and you may go home and hurt yourself, or you communicate you might hurt others, they can notify law enforcement. It's an extrapolation of what's called the red flag laws now.
We're just about to go there. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same theory. If your wife knows you have a gun in the home and thinks that you might hurt yourself, she can go to a police officer. She can go to a judge, say to the judge, I'd like to have a hearing. Because there's access to firearms, and I think this person may hurt themselves, and I care about them. And then there's a hearing with a mental health professional, and a judge can make a determination that for a short period of time, the gun should be removed until the issue is dealt with. So, yes, no one's anti-gun. I'm a gun owner. People hunt. It's a great sport in this country. But if you're seriously mentally ill, does anyone think you should have a gun for your own safety? If you're a former felon, do you have a right to a gun? And you don't get there unless you do a background check. And then there's the separate question of an assault weapon, which has no legitimate hunting purpose at all. They are designed to kill the largest number of people in the shortest period of time. That's what was used in El Paso. That's what was used in Ohio. They put law enforcement in a very dangerous position because the capacity is so large, they never unload. So it's very hard for law enforcement to have an opportunity to approach the person. So that's what the SAFE Act did 6 years ago. And by the way, Alan, no person has come up to me, and a lot of people come up and say a lot of things. Nobody has come up and said, I'm a legitimate law-abiding citizen. I had a legal right to a gun, and that right was infringed upon. No one. So we know we can do it. New York is the laboratory of democracy. States is a laboratory. We ran the experiment. It works. And there is a moment for change. Do I think the president will do it? No. I mean, what the president said was horrific. First, the height of hypocrisy. Hate has no place in New York. Oh, really? In this country. Oh, really? Now, which is wholly inconsistent with everything he has said. From the first time he opened his mouth running for president, he has run on the concept of divide and conquer. He has run on the concept of division, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, anti-Latino, Mexicans. He called the president of Mexico to apologize and wish condolences. He called Mexicans rapists and drug dealers. Everything was an invasion. Now, all of a sudden, he's surprised. But he still won't go near the issue of gun laws. I mean, he had one of the worst lines where he should fire the speechwriter and apologize. Mental illness and hate pulled the trigger. No, the trigger is on the gun. There is no trigger without the gun. He doesn't want to pass any gun laws because it offends his base. I'm calling on the Democrats. And in this moment of possibility of change, let the Democrats frame the issue. Let the Democrats have one clear answer. I called on all the presidential candidates today, have the same clear position, the Safe America Pledge, ban assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, universal background checks, mental health database, red flag laws. 4 points. Let every presidential candidate support them. And as governor of the state of New York, if they want to come into New York and they want New York Democrats to vote for them, I would urge them to accept that position because I'm not going to support any candidate who doesn't take that position.
Speaking of which, Governor, have you talked to your friend Joe Biden about this and where he stands on these very points?
I haven't spoken to any presidential candidate yet about these, but I'm telling all presidential candidates that I will not support any Democratic presidential candidate who does not support those four positions. We proved them to work. They were passed here in this state at great political peril. I paid a very high political price.
Why? You just won an election overwhelmingly. What do you mean you paid a high political price?
I would have won larger. I paid a very high political price. I alienated a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans.
You didn't have them in the first place. What are you talking about? These were not people who...
Yes, I did. I was more popular before the SAFE Act. And that's why you see all these politicians afraid to take a position, because it is a politically powerful issue. Let's be honest.
Okay. I want to go there. If you would just give me a second. I want to go there. You had the New York State Senate But frankly, you own the New York State Senate even when they were Republicans. You did. And I know that because they knew at the time, and it proved to be prophetic, that when you pull the plug on them, they were out of there, and they were. And in came the Democrats. But so you had them at all that time, and you had a group of people who were fearful of you. Now, wait, because I know you're going to come back on this. But I want to talk to you about the United States Senate. Now they're in a bad spot. You got Mitch McConnell, who obviously is doing their bidding by not allowing any votes, because if they vote, they're going to be in a bad spot. How do you bring them around? You don't have the same kind of clout with those senators that you had with the state Senate.
Okay, two quick points. First, on the Republican Senate in the state of New York, I passed marriage equality. I'm very proud of it. Four Republicans voted for it to pass it, and we had to get all the Democrats, which frankly was a lot easier said than done, because remember, the Democrats had not supported marriage equality. The first thing I had to do was get the Democrats to support it, because Democrats can be a vague term. But I got all the Democrats and then four Republican senators, and every Republican senator lost because the conservative party—
Every Republican senator who you got lost is what you're
who
saying.
Who supported marriage equality was voted out because the conservative party punished them.
So why did they do it? Because it was the right thing, right?
Because they believed in it and it was the right thing. So much for your concept of ownership. On the United States Senate, I say this. This is a moment for possibility for of a possible change. Yes, only if you frame the issue simply for the American people and make it a choice. Gets Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic presidential candidates. We all agree on these four points. America, if you elect a Democratic U.S. Senate and a president, Congress, we will pass a bill with these four points. If you do not, El Paso, Ohio, San Bernardino, Sandy Hook, don't expect the pattern to stop, because it's getting worse, not better. There are two elements in the equation: hate plus a gun. Hate plus a gun. It's not just hate. Hate alone, hate picks up a rock. Hate picks up a club. Hate picks up a knife. It doesn't kill 22 people in 3 minutes.
Okay, so you're the president of the United States. You're Donald Trump. Obviously, the guys in the White House are giving him a rough time. What does he do now? I mean, he has a choice. He really is facing something I don't think he thought he was going to face. He's facing a real popular revolution on guns. What should he do?
He says, number one, I made a mistake. I was too divisive. I was too confrontational. I was too unkind. I took our strength, which was our diversity, and I made it a weakness.
Will that help him, Governor? I'm sorry for interrupting you. Will that help him win an election? I don't think so.
He has to tone down. Yes. I think it helps him win an election, because any sane American understands that the hate is toxic. It's an American cancer, and it's spreading, and the enemy is within. And everybody's been pointing to the Middle East and terrorists and Al-Qaeda. Yeah, that's not who's killing us. It's the enemy within who's killing us. So that's number one on the hate front. Number two.
You really think it makes him politically more popular? The Democrats can't stand the guy. The Republicans are in that 97% group that support him. Aren't you being a little disingenuous here?
I think when a president stands up and says to a Republican, Trump stands up and says to the Republicans that the fomenting of hate is creating factions and violence in this country, and it has to stop. any sane Republican would applaud him.
On the contrary, it's the Republicans who are afraid of Trump, not the other way around.
Look, I am sure there are people in this country who, as we have seen, who have violent tendencies and are white supremacists and white nationalists, but that is a relatively small universe of people. There are many more sane Republicans who understand that mass shootings are bad. So I do think he would help himself if he admitted his error in fomenting hate.
So what's he likely? Okay, so yes, I get it. So what's he likely to do that will get him off the hook? Because right now he's really between a rock and a hard place. Which of these 4 points that you've laid, the outlawing of assault weapons, he ain't going to do that. The create a mental health database, maybe, because he's been trying to lay it all on the mentally ill in this country. Universal background checks, I doubt it very much. And the red flag legislation, which is very sensible to me, maybe. What do you think?
I think what he will do is the political option, which is what he always does. He will support minimal reforms, red flag law, maybe something on mental health, and then the Republican Senate will never pass it, and he'll say, I tried. That's why, to call his bluff, I said, I'll tell you what you do, Mr. President, if you're sincere. Sign an executive order that says, I want a universal background check, and I want a mental health database, and I want a red flag law, and I want an assault weapon ban. Which, by the way, assault weapon ban, he said in the meeting after Parkland, Florida, that was televised in the White House conference room, why does a person need an assault weapon? There was a moment of clarity and sanity and honesty. And then the NRA came in the next day and told him what the script was, and he stopped.
So was he going to change that now?
Yeah, well, I said, do an executive order if you're sincere, and then let the Congress say you've exceeded your authority in the executive order, which, by the way, he's done 11 times, right?
Sure, sure.
But at least it would show his sincerity. I think he says, I propose it, and then the Senate doesn't do it. But forget him. Let the Democrats frame the issue. Why can't Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, and the Democrats say, we all agree on the same 4 points? And that's what this election is about. And elections are about choices, and here's the choice. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know the position of the presidential candidates on guns. And I watch this stuff all the time. I mean, you tell me, what's Sanders' position on guns? What's Warren's position on guns? I don't know. Let them all accept the same 4 points. And let New York push them to do that. Because we have something here in New York, besides good looks and charm and wit, we have votes. And they want votes. Okay, you want our votes? Agree to the 4 points. And by the way, I'm going to speak to the Assembly and the Senate who passed this bill courageously. I'm sure they're going to take the same position. You want our votes? Take the 4 points. And if you have the 4 points, then you have a unified Democratic position that you can juxtapose with the Senate, and the American people have a choice. And I think they choose life over death.
Okay, so he goes out to Dayton, and he goes out to El Paso today. There are a few people on the street on either side. You know, this is a country where, unlike other countries, or even Puerto Rico, in this country, where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people get in the street. How come that isn't happening here on this issue?
I think people don't believe it will make a difference in the current system. I think, unfortunately, frankly, people are a little numb to it. You know, Alan, this is, what, once a month? Once every 2 months?
Okay, fair enough. What are we doing? I'm sure you're thinking about this a lot. What are we doing if it happens here and when it happens here? Because it will.
Well, God forbid. It hasn't. And I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx us, but it hasn't.
I got it. Yeah.
We have passed the best law in the United States of America that bans assault weapons. Now, can they come over from another border? Yes.
Sure.
That's why we need federal legislation. But it hasn't, Alan. And think
about that for a moment. It hasn't. It hasn't. But you need one guy or one person who comes over from another state with an assault weapon. And inevitably, you know, I don't want to jinx it either. But one has to assume that since it's happening and people are watching it on the internet and watching it on the television, one schnook is going to do this. And then I want to know what New York is getting, how New York is going to handle it.
Well, we have the best police forces in the United States of America. Unfortunately, we've learned too much post 9/11. We've learned too much the hard way. There is no state that is better prepared for an emergency, for an attack, for terrorism. And this is terrorism. They've been pointing to the Middle East. No, 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 no. Look in the mirror. America's challenge is from within. The enemy is within. More people are killed by white nationalists and white supremacists than foreign-born terrorists. And this state is better prepared than any state.
Now, I don't have that much. I don't have that much more time with you, Governor. But I want to ask you something. Two state databases associated with the SAFE Act to track handguns and ammo sales have yet to be created. Is the SAFE Act working from that perspective? Why haven't these databases been operationalized?
The SAFE Act is working 100%. I mean, first of all, the ban of assault weapons in and of itself is a culture change and a system change. These are all assault weapons, Alan. Nobody's doing this with a shotgun, you know? Nobody's doing this with a seven-bullet magazine. These are all high-capacity assault weapons. Second, 100,000 people on our mental health database. Universal background check, which is the starting point. It's not just a gun show loophole. These Democrats who say, well, I'll close the gun show loophole, they're full of baloney. It's deceptive. What they're saying is this. You walk into a gun store if you can pass a background check. Right now, if you can't pass a background check, you can go to a gun show. Well, I'll close the gun show loophole. Okay, then you know what I'll do? I'll call my buddy Alan, who has four guns. And I'll say, Alan, do me a favor. Sell me a gun. Because there's no background check on a private sale. That has to be closed. That's why I say even the Democratic presidential candidates, you don't know what their positions are. And that's why you don't have hundreds of thousands of people out on the street, because they don't even know how to fix this and how to change it and who would do it. And that's what we did. How did we handle the moment after Sandy Hook? I made it very clear. I held up the bill. I said, here it is. This is what it does. Vote yay or nay. You know what the legislator said? I don't want to vote. I said, why not? They said, well, either way, it's a hard vote.
Sure.
I said, I know. But you must. You must. And the same thing has to happen in Washington right now.
Do you think you pay a price?
Democrats have to hold up the same bill. Pelosi and Schumer holding up the same bill with the presidential candidates holding up the same bill and saying to the Republican Senate, now vote against it and see if the people vote for you.
The new Siena poll shows your favorability and job performance at record lows, with half the voters viewing you unfavorably. Still, half the voters say you've made New York a better place to live. So that takes some courage. I certainly believe that. But what's going on here?
I don't know. I don't even know what that question means. I don't know how half the people can give me credit for making the state a better place. You know,
which they do, which they do.
Yeah, but it's not even an intelligent question. Did Governor Cuomo make the state a better place? I would have said, how do I know? What was the state policy versus the federal policy versus my mayor versus my county executive versus the economic cycle of the world? It's not like a governor gets credit for every good thing that goes on. There's a president, there's a mayor, there's a county executive. So you read those polls. I don't even read them, Alan.
Okay, fair enough. I'm getting out of time here. Okay, so on WAMC on Monday here, you criticized the behavior of the New York State Police Department officers who were doused by water. New York Police Department Commissioner James O'Neill responded yesterday saying he was, quote, surprised you made the comment. Have you spoken to him?
No, I did not criticize the New York State Police. And I did not criticize the New York City Police. I respect the New York City Police, the NYPD. A lot of good friends of mine from my neighborhood in Queens, that was the dream. You grow up to be an NYPD policeman, and they're one of the finest forces in the nation. The incident where two NYPD cops responding to a report that a person is dousing people with water in a bucket. They respond to the call. They get doused by that person with water, and one gets hit in the head with a bucket. They get back in the car and they leave. What happened to respect for the NYPD?
Yeah.
What happened to respect from the community for the NYPD?
Okay,
how does
fair.
A police force do its job? They're responding to a call. A man is dousing us with water. They get out of the car. They get doused with water. They get back in the car and they leave.
I got less than a minute. You mentioned water. Brianna's Law, you're signing it. Basically, it says, you got to prepare everybody who is going to drive a boat. Is that the right thing to do?
I am a big boater. Have been all my life. Taken up Washington, D.C., went from Washington to Nantucket to Martha's Vineyard to Cape Cod, on lakes, on oceans. It is a different environment. There is no analogy. Well, I know how to drive a car, therefore I know how to drive a boat. There's a safety course. You can take it online. It's free. You get a safety certificate. Maybe you'll save your own life. You'll save the lives of others. I've been boating all my life. I could use the course.
Okay, and sir, Governor, first of all, you said you'd come back, and you're back, number one. And number two, we appreciate it very much. And number three, we're out of time, and your people will give me hell if I take up more time than I've been allotted here. So
I didn't say I'll come back. I said I'll be back, former Governor of California.
You did. Thank you, Governor. We'll see you the next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.